This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Your questions can be sent to radioprogram@AOL.com. It may take a couple of weeks before we get around to your question, because we have a lot of people sending questions. We got a little bit of a backlog, but we will.
About 4 weeks.
Really?
Four to five weeks. Oh, 5 weeks.
I'm unhappy to hear that, but I'm also happy to hear that people are availing themselves of this opportunity to pose questions, and they are good questions. I also want to thank people for signing up for our Hoffman Center dispensary at FullScript. It's new, it's automated, it's brand new, shiny. You can kick the tires by going to drhoffman.com and click on shop, and there's a drop-down menu, and it'll prompt you to register for FullScript, and you can navigate around there and look around and select the products that meet your needs, and thereby assure your health and also assure the continuity of this podcast, because we are offering this free, but we appreciate the support, and our sponsors appreciate your support. So let's get to questions.
Okay, we've got an email from JB. I'm a 58-year-old woman. I've been concerned with mood and memory issues. Dr. Hoffman, what kind of medical conditions could hamper memory in someone my age?
Okay. Well, let's do it the way we might evaluate a patient, just a rough outline. So we see patients often with mood and memory problems. So let's start with nutritional.
Yes.
You know, on the nutritional side, and not everything is nutritional, by the way.
Right.
You know, from a nutritional standpoint, there could be a deficiency of certain key nutrients, any number of which could affect mental focus, but in particular, B12.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
B12, the standards for B12 are a little bit too lenient. And so we might see, so for example, I saw a patient who's got brain fog. His B12 is actually not deficient, but it's 330. I told him to take B12 last time, but he didn't, and I want him to take B12 now. We saw him earlier today, and I think his brain may light up when we finally get him adequate B12.
That's interesting. You know, it's interesting the lab values say that normal is between 200 and 600, but we do like to see it up and over 600 to make a real difference.
But it just seems to be a booster for some people.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is a potential issue. It could be a psychological issue. I mean, frankly, there's such a thing as psychological issues. Is there stress? Is there relationship issues? Is there job issues? You know, people sometimes benefit, you know, some people don't realize this, but memory problems can be a feature of depression and anxiety. So that inability to recall may be associated with depression, which, by the way, is not just a psychological state, it's a physical state that relates to brain inflammation.
Psychoneuroimmunity.
And so we might treat a depression by using an anti-inflammatory, like curcumin, for example. Cogumin is the one we like for that.
I also blame ADD to some degree.
Okay.
When you're distracted, you're not going to retain. It's not going to encode. You know, it's a cup of coffee or something can get you alert and help you to store and retain. But I tell people, you know, you've had too much caffeine when you're reading the paper and you're reading the same sentence or paragraph over and over. It's time to stop.
Right.
So that could be another reason for memory. Check how much caffeine you're taking, JB. That could be something. A high homocysteine.
Right.
Pardon me. That could be something.
Which can be addressed with the B vitamins.
Right.
So let's switch. Again, this is going to be like something
medications
that we ascertain in an hour of conversation. It could be medications.
Could be medications.
Certain medications have a dulling effect on mood and on memory.
Yeah.
It could be hormones. And, you know, we're talking to a woman who's 58 and she's sort of postmenopausal, and maybe she's experiencing some of that postmenopausal decline in mood and focus that mm-hmm. occurs when there's a dip in estrogen. Mm-hmm. Both sexes might have low DHEA. A male might have low testosterone. Mm-hmm. You know, there could be a gastrointestinal issue. We really look at brain gut issues, intestinal toxicity.
Yes,
I'm calling him.
You're calling him.
Layla's raising her hand.
I'm raising my hand. Yeah. A statin.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, somebody who's been put on Lipitor or Zocor recently and suddenly, I can't retain. I don't know. What was that person say? Or something where it didn't exist before.
There are actually cases of what's called TGA, transient global amnesia, which resembles a stroke or rapid onset of dementia. Wow. That is reversible when people go off statins. So statins, I mean, have a place, but you got to be careful. So, you know, these are some of the considerations in looking at mood and memory. And, you know, it might be that it's like you do a pie chart. It's that it's a little bit hormones, a little bit better nutrition. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly, you know, there's this grain brain notion.
Oh, yeah.
Is that some patients really clear up and focus better when they get off of gluten or in particular grains, or maybe try a paleo diet to see if they have.
So it's not hitting all this opioid circuitry in the brain. Unstable blood sugar is always
absolutely
one.
Unstable blood
Hypoglycemia causes brain fog. Try to retain anything when you're hangry or something.
Type 2 diabetes, which we sometimes call type 3 diabetes, where it's sugar everywhere, but not a drop to drink. Mm. By your neurons in the brain, there's blood sugar is high, but it doesn't get into the cells because there's a type of
brain is insulin resistant.
Brain is insulin resistant. It does not accept the high sugar, which will fuel the processes of cognition and activity.
Yeah.
So
so it's not just a matter of going to Luminosity and doing brain exercises or learning a language or playing an instrument, although all those things are good.
But by the way, physical exercise also has a beneficial effect.
BDNF,
brain-derived
neurotrophic factor.
And let's also include sleep as a factor because I was talking to a patient earlier who has issues with mood and fatigue. And, you know, I said to his wife or his girlfriend, I said, does he snore? And he said, you forgot I have sleep apnea. So he has sleep apnea.
Oh,
And so there are episodes during the night where he is deoxygenated.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a great stress reaction in the body.
Yeah.
And it can affect the mood.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also, high cortisol can have a damaging effect on the hippocampus, which is the part of the brain associated with memory.
Causes it to shrink.
It shrinks. That's a scary thing.
So all that cortisol coursing
stress
through
makes
your
brain shrink.
Stress. And you have to remember not just emotional, mental stress of life events, but the physiological stress of not getting enough sleep.
Right.
Causing your cortisol to soar. Too much caffeine during the day, which is causing a restless sleep, or too much chocolate at night or alcohol, causing more restless sleep, causing more secretion of cortisol, all of these play into it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so
interesting.
That's an essay question, but you know, those are some of the questions.
Yeah. So this would be a consult, really,
yeah.
to investigate all the different things that could be hampering.
But that's
memory.
a little how we think in seeing these patients.
Right. JB, thank you for your question. Ah. This is a great question. This comes from Ray. Dr. Hoffman, your booklet on mitral valve prolapse has been a lifesaver. Thank you.
You know, it's funny. I've written so many things, and that little booklet, it's just a little
it's changed people's lives.
45-page booklet. I still receive royalties for it. You know, I'll get like, you know, $18. Or, you know, it's like, what, it's another, there's some ridiculous percentage deal that I made with the publisher. And people all over the world write us. We get things from like New Zealand and Albania and you know, weird places.
Yeah. So Ray says, I'd like to hear more details about how an unstable nervous system affects everyday life. For example, can MVP cause blood pressure to be abnormally labile, causing a bigger white coat reading in the doctor's office?
So, well, so much so that there is a medical diagnosis, dysautonomia. And in fact, there's a support group called Dysautonomia International, and I interviewed, I think, the head of that support group. It's a big group because it comprises people with a wide variety of ailments. And we can actually say that dysautonomia has to do with lay blood pressure, people have palpitations, mm-hmm. people with fainting, people who have irritable bowel, that may be a form of dysautonomia.
Yeah.
Any number of things are governed by rapid fluctuations between parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system.
Yeah.
So it's the way I describe it is, you know, you put your pedal to the metal and the car doesn't go, but then when you try to put the brakes on, the car doesn't stop. It's sort of like wired but tired kind of, yeah. You know, it's
wired
people who
tired.
Are who are having difficulty controlling their heart rate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of it relates to therapies that are like breath, you know, yoga, tai chi. This could be a stabilizing thing. Mm-hmm. But inherently, there are people who have a propensity to dysautonomia because of genetics. And, you know.
Interesting.
So there, and, but also mitral valve prolapse is sometimes a signature, the physical manifestation of a floppy valve that's mm-hmm. seen on an echocardiogram. Is sometimes, yeah, and you hear a on, you know, like a whooshing sound on a physical exam when you put the stethoscope to the heart. This is sometimes a signal that the autonomic nervous system is kind of weird. So people who have mitral valve prolapse are a little bit more prone to panic attacks.
Startle easily.
Yeah, and medication sensitivity very much so. The caffeine sensitivity.
Yeah.
It's like you give them medication, they're just blown away. You know, it's like you have to give them like a half of a pediatric dose of medication so that they tolerate it. They're also often very viscerally attuned. In other words, they have an attention to the ongoing processes internally. Mm-hmm. They're very conscious of their breathing, so they feel short of breath frequently. Mm-hmm. They're very conscious of their intestinal tract, you know, so they feel the gurgling and they feel the spasms and they, you know, So they're often called HSPs, highly sensitive persons.
Uh-huh.
Nice website by Elaine Aron, or Aron, A-R-O-N, who I've interviewed a few times. But that's a useful website for people with that kind of propensity.
Mm-hmm.
But Dysautonomia International is also a resource for those people. It's got a lot of support.
Wow. Magnesium.
Yes.
And did I say magnesium enough?
Yes, thank you.
Because
good idea.
Life-changing.
Yeah.
Life-changing, right there. Just that one mineral. CoQ10, too, of course. That's also helpful.
Right.
B vitamins, all that. Stabilize your blood sugar. Keep coming back to a common theme. But magnesium,
it has
right?
a calmative effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also good for your blood pressure. So, especially magnesium taurate, which is a favorite of mine. Okay. Thank you for your question. Oh, and by the way, this is something I've told at least a handful of patients just recently. They go into their doctor, quote, fasting, and they have their blood pressure reading and it's high. Well, they think they're still fasting when they've had a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean high test. I don't mean decaf or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I said, try it next time without having anything. Oh, normal blood pressure. Hey, you don't need that prescription for your beta blocker or whatever.
Right.
So this is interesting.
Well, you know, double trouble, because if you come in fasting for your blood test after you take a cup of coffee, one of the problems with coffee is it exacerbates hypoglycemia.
Yes.
It will actually make you more, which they actually tell diabetics, they say drink coffee because that way you'll know if you've taken too much insulin. Otherwise, you may not be aware of it.
Huh.
Beta blockers, which some diabetics are on,
mm-hmm.
make you less aware of low blood sugar. You could slip into a coma without even feeling it.
Oh, my.
So.
Wow.
Interesting. But, you know, coffee certainly can make that blood sugar
mm-hmm.
rush. So we're going to pause for a moment because we want to allow one of our sponsors to share a message with you, and we'll be right back.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com.
Okay, folks, thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They make this podcast possible. So let's get back to questions, Layla.
Okay, we've got an email from Cindy. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I'm on Coumadin, and I'm currently looking for a multivitamin without any vitamin K in it. Do you think this is actually necessary?
Okay. It's actually kind of hard to find multivitamins without vitamin K. I believe there are some out there. And if you prefer, you can search for one. However, the way I'd answer this question is that the amount of vitamin K
in
a multi is probably not enough to change your clotability.
Right.
And
I'm thinking it would be 45 micrograms or less.
Oh, very much less than that. Because that's, first of all, it's a cost issue. You know, to put that much vitamin K into the multi would hike the price of the multi by, $2-3. Mm-hmm. So I think, where I would say caution might be exercised is in taking additional vitamin K. Say you're concerned about osteoporosis, but you're taking Coumadin.
Yeah.
Before you take a vitamin K supplement like MK7, you should consult with your doctor. By the way, I'm not inalterably opposed to that because whatever happens to your proTime, you can adjust your Coumadin if there's a big impact on your proTime with taking vitamin K. I think this whole thing with vitamin K is a bit overblown.
Yes. Yes.
So.
And I'm still very discouraged at anyone being prescribed Coumadin and then the practitioner in the room tells them stop eating vegetables, which makes me want to pull my hair out.
I know.
So,
The good news is that your profession is becoming more aware and attuned to the nuances of that.
Yeah.
It's not like a black, white, all or nothing issue.
Yeah. It's about keeping your vitamin K in your food, the amount that you're consuming, consistent, so it's not throwing your proTime. So there are certain vegetables that you would limit certain servings of, but absolutely, you don't stop eating your vegetables.
I think there's something about this that it's when you're a professional and you jump around and get really excited about, don't take that! It somehow makes you feel more useful as a professional, that you've warned people of some extraordinary peril. Hmm. And that's why I think doctors, don't take that vitamins and supplements. They could do this and they could do that. And it's like they feel more consequential when they do that. And nutritionists also, they jump on the bandwagon and do that too.
Many
without looking at the science.
Yes. The mainstream nutritionists who still are not in the know.
Right.
Which is unfortunate.
But it's simplistic thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's simplistic thinking. It's like calories in, calories out. No, that's not the whole story. Although I think any doctor who's going to throw up their hands and say, stop taking all your supplements, really needs to say, go see a qualified nutritionist to help you manage that and navigate that territory properly. That would be the way to do it intelligently.
Right.
On Intelligent Medicine.
And Layla is available for consultation. You doctors out there who...
Okay, Cindy.
At a brand new location.
At a brand new location. Cindy, thank you very much for your question.
By the way, we're enjoying our new office on 58th Street near Columbus Circle. I just went to my first lunch outside the office. Because I was like bringing my lunch to the office because I was afraid I was going to, wouldn't be able to find food in time, see the next patient. So I ventured out of the office and I actually found a nice place to have lunch. It was sort of a paleo style lunch that I was able to get. Believe it or not, it's in the subway.
Oh my goodness.
It's like eating in the subway used to be like, God, you're going to have to go to like Needix or something like that and get one of those Frankfurters that's rolling on the roller,
Really long.
They actually have a very pleasant arcade at Columbus Circle. It's underground, it's clean,
places to sit. They've got Wi-Fi. You could sit. You can eat. Lovely.
Yeah.
And it's just down the block, which is nice. One thing I love about our new space, it's so quiet.
Yes.
No more. I haven't heard any blaring sirens or anything. It's wonderful. We did on 6th Avenue, which was practically all
Ambulance
the time.
Alley.
Ambulance Alley. Exactly. Exactly. Okay.
And you won't hear a lot of sirens in the background on these podcasts anymore, hopefully.
Right. So we've got an email from Melanie. Would Dr. Hoffman please give his opinion on biote or biote, where a doctor puts pellets under the skin it's hormone replacement therapy, mm-hmm. Put under the skin.
Yeah,
I'm 75 years old. Am I too old to get the benefit?
Well, okay. So there are various ways to administer hormones, mm-hmm. and in both men and women. One way is to give an oral pill, that's not very good for testosterone, mm-hmm. and it's thought to have more consequences in terms of blood clotting when you give estrogen by mouth. Mm. And also, it can be an issue with the liver. Liver, if a person isn't detoxifying properly, the estrogen can overaccumulate. So we will often use creams, topical creams, and mm-hmm. they work fine. So I use oral pills, and occasionally in men who are very overweight, for some reason overweight men don't absorb testosterone very well.
It gets sequestered by their fat cells.
It
goes straight to the abdomen.
Yeah, it gets sponged up. Yeah. So they require testosterone injections, which are, the pellets are an alternative where if people don't want the muss and the fuss, and remember to take this thing every day, that the doctor just administers the pellet. Hmm. To me, though, that's a little bit like, what they do with cattle or something, or with pets. Mm-hmm. I think that responsible adults can be given an instruction to take a pill or use a cream on a daily basis. And the nice thing about that is when you want to stop, you can stop. And with a pellet, you have to remove the pellet. Time releases over time, and there's no stopping. I mean, once you take it out, of course, you're stopping, but you'd have to remove it. Now, I suspect there's something else going on here, which is that when I prescribe a pill or when I prescribe a cream, I don't dispense it. I make no money. Hmm. I make money vis-a-vis the consultation where I think it through and, and decide whether it's a good idea. But the pharmacy makes the money. Mm-hmm. And that's the case in many states. Mm-hmm. In some states, the doctor actually has the ability to have their own pharmacy and they can give it to you, but not in New York. Mm-hmm. When you do the pellet thing, that's a procedure, and you can charge. Huh. And I suspect that there's sometimes a little bit of a profit motive in that. Doctors are always looking for, frankly, medical economics being what it is, they're looking for an add-on. They're looking for some procedure that they can do and that they can charge because there's an insurance code for this and there's a Medicare code probably for this. Mm-hmm. And so it's a way. The pitch is here. Fact, after the age of 30, most people produce 3 to 10% less hormones each year. Does that mean that after 30, we should be putting pellets in people?
Oh, my.
I'm not sure. That's the promotion here.
Wow.
That's the promotion. I don't know.
They widened their demographic. Yeah.
They say other delivery methods. Inconsistent results, weekly, daily treatments, numerous side effects. Well, the side effects, I think, are kind of the same when you use these. I mean, if they're going to be side effects, you're probably going to get similar side effects from the pellets, because the side effects are not due to the way it's administered; it's due to the hormone itself. So, but for some people, it's a relief. It's just give me the thing, and it'll be in my body, and I don't have to think about it anymore.
Right.
But it's hard to adjust. It's once you've decided, you've committed to a dosage, and with a patient who has, say that it's not working for their hot flashes, I can give them more. Mm-hmm. Or if it's like I'm getting side effects, I feel bloated, or I have breast tenderness, it can come back.
Interesting.
Or if you see in a man, you see like a PSA going up, you stop.
Coming back to the thing, I think I said it incorrectly about testosterone in overweight men that doesn't boost it. It's because it's not necessarily then being sequestered by the abdominal fat. It's being aromatized.
Yes, thank you.
Into estrogen. No, I had to think about that and stop myself. No, that's not right.
That's actually, it's a bit of both.
So it has to be sequestered to get aromatized.
Yeah. There's actually drugs that block that. So sometimes when we give testosterone to men, we'll give them a natural product called Chrysin, which blocks that.
Or
Arimidex, which is, actually it's a drug used in breast cancer to prevent the production of estrogen, but it prevents the conversion of androgens to estrogen.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow.
So,
okay. So Melanie's 75.
No, so the question is a good time?
Is she too old to get the benefit from this product?
Not necessarily, but I'm more reluctant in older patients because unless, it can be established that the hormones are beneficial, why go there?
Right. Right. I think it's that whole anti-aging.
Yeah. I mean, is there some thing? Greater optimization that can be had? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are risks.
Right.
There. I mean, I don't minimize the risks, you know, because reproductive cancers can be fueled. You know, breast and uterus and certain ovarian cancers can be promoted by hormones. So we use hormones, but we use them sparingly and judiciously.
Right. Thank you, Melanie. Continued good health to you.
And that's all the time that we have for today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. So thank you very much, Layla, for joining us. Thank you, audience, for listening.
Thank you, everybody.
And we'll be back next week. You can email us your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com, and we'll answer them as soon as we can on a weekly basis. See you later.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.